This is Lawrence Tuning, and these are my 88 friends.
Me and my 88 friends. Me and my 88 friends. I will sing you a song that will help me along. They're my one-man band. I'm the number one fan.
Me and my Welcome to episode 120 of Me and My 88 Friends. Tonight we're going to do a lot of music, of songs that the Lord has given me to write over the last 53 years. But I want to do them all with our current band, Damascus Road. Many of these have been recorded, but I want to do our versions of these songs. So lots of music tonight, and we're going to also look at the Word later on. So we want to start with the most recent song that I've written, and this is called Rewrite History.
If you had the power rewrite history, would you go find some paper and pick up the pen? Are there chapters you would throw in the fire if you had the power? Write them over again. Decisions that led to heartache, crossroads where you took the wrong turn. If you had the power history, what would you change? What would we learn? We were all gathered at a large reunion after so many years of being apart. Most were smiling. I could see the sadness in the eyes of some with broken hearts. Decisions that led to heartache, crossroads where they took the wrong turn. If they had the power history, what would they change? What would we learn? There is a road to Calvary. There Jesus died on the outskirts of town.
give us a hope and the future, and to lift us to higher ground. There's no way you can rewrite history. You can never go back and relive it again. But there are chapters yet to be written. What will you write? How will the story end? We're reaching into our bag of songs tonight, songs that have been written. The first song was written in 1970, I think it was. And we're playing the versions of these songs by Damascus Road, our current band here in Florence, South Carolina. I want to play my bluesy song that I love to play, I'll Get Through. And then we want to follow it with a song that was written in 1973 called I Wouldn't Go Back, which was the title of my very first album with the Fisherman.
Scandalize my name.
just let me see your glory. One moment in your presence will do, just as long as I have you, I'll get through. Precious Jesus, I can't live without you. I can't last a single day without you. Just as long as I have. Get through. I wouldn't go back, I wouldn't go back. I wouldn't go back to the life I used to live. I wouldn't go back, never going back again. All behind me, so don't remind me. It's all too vivid in my mind. No, I wouldn't go back to the life I used to live. I chose to leave it all behind. The tears I shed, the loneliness in side. I wouldn't go back, wouldn't go back, not I. I still recall the night that fall, how close I came to ending my life just before you came. Lying on my bed, the ceiling o'er my head kept screaming, who are you anyway? What could I say? Sitting in my living room, tears streaming down my face. Life was such a waste. Then I met you.
That song was I Wouldn't Go Back. Some of these songs we're doing tonight were written a long time ago, and I quit singing them for many decades even. And I had really forgotten about that song, but Ray Bolts did an album called Classics, and he had all these famous songs and famous people, and he threw this song on there. And I said, why in the world? This is not a classic. Only a handful of people ever heard it. And it was interesting what he said to me, and I've thought about that. He said, it's a classic to me. And certain songs are classics because they did something in your life at the time. A song is funny. It's like a snapshot. It's like going through a scrapbook. You can hear a song, and it instantly takes you to a moment where God did something in your life. So I guess it's a classic to some people. Radio hated it. He tried to put it on the radio, and I read the reviews. They love the Anchor Holes. They love At the Foot of the Cross. But, oh, they were vicious. They hated it. But as I said in concert before, Andre Crouch told me when he heard it, he cried. So I figured that's okay. It didn't stay in the lines, Brian. It wasn't cookie cutter enough, evidently. Nowadays you're supposed to have a verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, boom. And it the bridge did all kinds of things, as we know. We just heard it. Let's do two more. This is kind of bluesy too. I guess I like blues. This is called If I Didn't Know Jesus, I'd Be a Miserable Man. And we're going to follow that with a wonderful verse that this is based on. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Philippians 4:13.
Thank you.
miserable man. If I didn't know Jesus, I'd be one miserable man.
I've been first and the last one picked. I've had plenty and I've gone without. I've had faith, had some doubt. I've had friends and I've stood alone. I've been weak and I've been strong. I've been slandered and I've been praised. Been admired and called a disgrace. One thing I know, one thing I see, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've had potential to reach the top. Been a has-been, I've been a flop. I've been ripped off and I've been blessed. But at this point in my life, I've gotta confess. One thing I know, strengthens me. I've been through the fire and I've been through the flood. I've learned from it all. It's worked out for my good. In everything I've ever had to face, God gave the grace to see me through. Strengthens me.
We're playing songs that I've written over a long, long time. But tonight I wanted to do the versions of Damascus Road, our current band. I like our new versions, our live versions. This song is also based on a scripture. I want to read it to you, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. This song talks about a journey going from one level to another level to another level. It was written about 1972. The Fishermen sang it a lot. Then my next band, the Eastland Band, recorded it. And again, I didn't sing this song for many decades. And when the Damascus Road Band formed, I pulled it out of the archives and we began doing it. So this is From Glory to Glory.
Well, only
steadily I'm climbing each day. I found out that it's so much more, that opening just one single door. One door just leads to turn, but I know the way. And I still have a lot to learn, but I'm on the way. And the way is Jesus, Jesus. I know it's Jesus, Jesus. Now that I've told you I'm through, and I trust that you're all moving up too. Moving up too.
The next two songs I want to play were on an album that I did in 2000 here in Florence, South Carolina. The album was called First Glimpse, and we want to hear now two from that album, but done with the Damascus Road flair, as they would say. This is called Turn Around, which is really what the word repent means, turn around. And this is followed by a song that we just finished recording about an hour ago, called When Love Walked In.
Pleasure can be fleeting. Temptation can be such fun, but you better listen well. You can fool around, let the clock wind down, and land yourself in where the bubble's gonna burst. Gonna move from bad to worse. Take some advice that's safe and sound. Turn around. Crowds of people running hard. Popularity temporarily will blind you to the fact that the road you're on is a danger zone, and you might not make it back. No, the bubble's gonna burst. Gonna move from bad to worse. Already said it once, I think I'll say it twice. Turn around. Thank you.
in Jesus, I believe what he said is true. That the road to life is narrow and the travelers are few. The path to destruction ranks high in opinion polls, but the end of that highway will lead you in a follower's hole.
Yeah.
across the floor. I could hear Jesus softly calling my name. I heard a knock on the door, and as I walked across the floor, I could hear Jesus softly, and he was calling my name.
I want to do a song now that is one of my favorite songs that we do, and it's one of the newer songs written about 2 years ago with my pastor, and it says, "It's not too late to start over again." I've talked to so many people that have heard that song, and it just strikes a chord in their life, because sometimes we feel like the best years are over. We've made mistakes, we've made failures, and we think it's too late, but it's not too late. My friend Mark Roberts, who was on one of our episodes called The Singer's Singer, has just released this song on a CD, and he has a whole orchestra with it. But this is, as Frank Sinatra would say, our way, the Damascus Road way. But listen to this song. It's not too late to start over again.
I had a chance, but I did not take it. I had a choice, but I did not make it. I live with regret, I just can't shake it. It's not too late to start over again. I had a future, wet and shattered. I had hopes that somehow got scattered. I sinned and I lost the one thing that mattered. But it's not too late to start over again. And I know the past with things it might have been, and there's only one thing left for me to heal this heart again. Sweet forgiveness, the kind that frees us. One by one, I'll pick up the pieces, gather them up, take them to Jesus. For it's not too late to start over again. And I know I can't replace the past with things it might have been, and there's only one thing left for me, heart again. Sweet forgiveness, the kind that frees us. One by one, pick up the pieces. Oh, I'll gather them up, take them to Jesus. For it's not too late to start over again. Broken pieces, I'll just take them to Jesus. He told me it's not too late to start over again.
That song is a song about failure and about falling and missing opportunities and chances and really just having a lot of broken pieces. I was talking with my grandson Dalton over the weekend. We celebrated my wife's birthday, and so we all got together, all except our Texas son and his family. But Dalton and I started talking about the issue of backsliding or falling away. We saw a movie about a very gifted preacher, but we then saw a documentary which basically told the story of him sort of going off the rails, having a double life, and for a period of time, just walking away from the simplicity of the faith he knew and coming back to Christ on his at the end of his life, on his deathbed. And my grandson said, how does that happen? And we both talked about King Solomon. I'm a Proverbs man. My wife and I read Proverbs every day. And my grandson asked, how did that happen? Here's a man considered the wisest man in the world, and he writes some of the most amazing scripture, and yet the Bible says that he fell. If you remember that story, he had a dream when he was a young man, and God said, I'll give you anything you want. And in that dream, he said, God, I just want to know your will. I want to have wisdom. I want to know what you want. And God said, because you gave such a great answer, I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you all sorts of things. But then later in his life, you read the scriptures, and he is worshiping Baal. It might have not been Baal. It was one of the gods, worshiping an idol, because he married the wrong woman, and he wanted to please her. And here he is now worshiping an idol. You've got Aaron in the Bible, who was with Moses. And then something happened where he told the people, let's build this golden calf and worship it. So the question that Dalton had for me is, how does that happen? Now, I'm not going to get into the whole issue. People debate this for centuries. Can you lose your salvation or whatever? I'm not going to get into that. But we all know, regardless of what side of the fence you're on, that people do backslide. People do slide back. And people do fall. So I was thinking about that, and I wrote some things down that I think are some reasons that it happens. I didn't mention yet David. David, a man after God's heart. He wrote so many of the Psalms, and yet there came a point in his life where he committed adultery. He tried to hide it, and then he arranged for a man's murder to hide his sin. David had the good sense to come back. And if you have fallen, have the good sense to come back, because it's not too late to start over. Well, why does it happen? I got several little reasons here, just for a few minutes. One reason people fall is overconfidence and pride. There's a verse in the Bible that says, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Overconfidence. You think it can never happen to you. Peter said to Jesus, God, these other guys might deny you, but not me. It never happened to me. There was a pride there and an overconfidence there. There is a verse in Proverbs that talks about arrogance and pride going before a fall. So that's one reason it happens. We've got to cultivate being poor in spirit. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. What that means is blessed are those who know that they're poor. They're spiritually poor. Their only confidence is in God and in Jesus. So that's one reason people fall. Another reason is living recklessly and too close to danger. I don't have time to read all the verses, but in the Old Testament, there was a man named Balaam. He was actually not a Hebrew. He was really didn't worship the true God like a lot of them did, but God spoke to him from time to time. And there's a long story about how he was in disobedience to what God had told him. And the angel spoke to him and said, you are reckless. You are a reckless man. And his whole life was one of recklessness. He had the chance. He actually prayed at one point, God, let me die like the Israelites. Let me know you like they do. But he just lived too close to the edge. Instead of choosing to go with them, he stayed back. He eventually encouraged some of the tribal women to seduce the Israelites and have them worship false gods. And this man died in battle, killed by the Israelites that he could have joined, but he was reckless. He lived too close to the edge. And that's what happens to a lot of people. We get so close to the edge, what can I get away with? And we stumble, we fall. I heard a story one time about I'm sure it wasn't true, but that's a great story about a Swiss lady, a lady in Switzerland who had a beautiful limousine, beautiful car, and she wanted to hire a driver. She interviewed three guys, and she asked the first guy, she said, I want to know how close you can get my car to the edge so I can see the beautiful scenery. And he said, I can get you 1 foot to the edge. And of course, there was no guardrail. She interviewed the second guy. He said, I can do better than that. I can get you about 6 inches from the edge. She interviewed the third guy. And he said, ma'am, I'm not interested in getting you close to the edge. I'm interested in your safety. I'm not going close to the edge, but I will keep you safe. Well, guess who got the job? The third guy. But that's why some people fall. We flirt with danger. There's a verse in Proverbs, a group of verses, when Solomon was talking about avoiding adultery. And he tells the story about this young guy that he saw. And the guy was walking at night, right as it was getting night, and he went to the area of town where loose women were and prostitutes were, and a lady came out and seduced him, and he committed sin with her. Well, part of the problem with that story is he should have known better. He shouldn't have gone to that side of town. He certainly shouldn't have gone at night when he knew the prostitutes would be coming out and enticing people. And so many times we set ourselves up to fall because we aren't smart and we get too close to the edge and we think we're stronger than we are. Here's another reason, stubbornness. There's people who can't take correction. They can't listen to warning. I knew a person one time, there were two people, and one person had a dream about the other one. And in this dream, this person was walking through a jungle or a forest, and there were snares set, traps. And in the dream, it was like a warning. Be careful where you walk. Be careful. because there are traps laid out to ensnare you and to cause you to fall. Well, this person didn't heed it. In fact, this person got angry about it. Like, what? It's none of your business. And guess what? This person fell. So sometimes stubbornness, not being willing to listen to warnings, will do it. There's a couple more I want to just mention. The parable of the sower talks about two soils that did not produce good fruit. One of them was very shallow soil, rocky soil. And what that was a very thin layer of dirt, but underneath that was a rock, just a rock was underneath. And there was no root. The root couldn't go very deep. And what happened with that plant is it came up very fast. But when the sun came out, it withered because it had no root. And he said, that is like the people who don't count the cost. They don't think of what's at stake. They just jump in. They're excited. Maybe they feel an emotion about it. And they fall because they didn't have root there. They weren't rooted in the right thing. Maybe they were rooted in emotion or rooted in following the bandwagon when revival comes through or whatever. That happens many times because in that same portion of scripture, Jesus says that persecution comes and rejection comes. And so many fall because they just can't handle the idea of being rejected by anybody. And that's part of the package. It happens. And the other thing I want to just mention in Mark, talking about this same parable of the sower and the seeds, he says that people start out and then their minds basically become more infatuated with riches or with worry. And he also uses the term other things. And that will do it as quick as anything. Just lose your passion, lose your focus, get involved with other things, even good things. But Jesus is no longer the center. He's no longer the focus. And little by little, these other pursuits become more and more important, and Jesus becomes less and less important. And then one day you'll wind up and you realize, I feel far away. I feel so far from God. What happened? It's a subtle process that leads us away. And I want to close by just telling you this verse that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians. He said to this church, he said, I am afraid for you. I'm afraid. Because I'm afraid that just as the serpent in the Garden of Eden deceived Eve and led her away from what she had that was real, that somehow your minds might be led astray and away from the purity and sincerity of devotion to Christ. That's the way the New American Standard Bible puts it. The purity and simplicity of devotion to Christ. Christianity is not hard. It's simple and it's pure. And what Paul said, what it is comprised of is devotion, being devoted, being totally given, totally focused. To be devoted in the dictionary means to be very loving, very true, and very faithful. And that's what it's all about, being devoted, loving him, following him, staying close to him. When you get hurt, not getting bitter, but taking those to him and just being knit with him for the rest of your life. So I hope this has maybe instructed a few people, encouraged you. And here's what you need to know. If you have drifted away in any way, there's only one answer, and that is to make your way back. Ask for his forgiveness. He will cleanse you. He will wash you. The Bible says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Many of us fall, but the smart people get up when they fall and just come right back to Jesus and ask him to cleanse them and to help them. One last thing I forgot to say. This has been a little sermonette tonight. You didn't hear an interview, but I'm telling you, these things are very important, what I'm talking about. Another reason that people fall sometimes is they have not asked God to fill them with the Holy Spirit. Now, we all have a portion of the Holy Spirit, but the Bible talks about that we can be full of the Spirit. And Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you can ask God to give you power, to give you more power. Oh, Brian, I keep thinking of another one, so I'm going to end now. I really am going to end now. But this is another good little insurance policy. Some people fall because they separate themselves from fellowship, and they're out there like a lone ranger. Solomon, again, in Ecclesiastes says, two are better than one. But because if one falls, his brother can help pick him back up. And so that's another great thing for us to remember, that we don't need to carry our burdens, carry our struggles alone. We need to lean on our brothers and sisters. So with that in mind, I want to close with a couple of songs, Brian. I love this song. I got this song reading the autobiography of Eric Clapton. Some of you have heard me talk about it. He said he had failed at so many drug rehab places, and he was getting ready to leave another rehab, and the temptation was already coming to him, and he knew it was just a short matter of time before he was going to fall back into drugs. And he said in his desperation, he just fell on his knees and cried out to God and asked God to help him. And as he did that, he said, it left me, and I've never fallen back anymore. And so I thought of that, and I thought of what my mother said to me and my father growing up. Best advice they could give me was, always keep your eye on Jesus. People will disappoint you. Situations will disappoint you. So keep your eye on Jesus, and you won't fall. This song is called When My Eyes Are On You. And we're going to follow that. We've played this a lot, but I just love this song. And I love the way Brian plays on the acoustic guitar, the lead solo. It's a plea for revival. It's called Send the Rain. Thank you for listening to us again. Next week, we're going to have my good friend Gary Wright on, and we're going to talk about all sorts of things. God bless you. Hope you'll listen again next week.
Around you. there's a place of peace where the struggles have ceased. I can quickly go there anytime, anywhere, when my eyes are on you. Let me see your face. Let nothing obstruct the view. Just one glimpse of your grace is all I'm asking, asking of you.
Your righteousness rain down. Let let your holiness abound. Let the people know your truth. Let salvation bear its fruit. Lord, we're living in a dry and thirsty land. So we ask you once again, send the rain. Send the rain. Send the rain. Let your righteousness rain down. Let your holiness abound. Let the people know your truth. Let salvation bear its fruit.
My 88 friends, me and my 88 friends.